This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
James Acaster on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome, my name is James Acaster. Today I'm going to be putting my iPod on shuffle and Jerry Swift's iPod on shuffle. First of all, here's a song. That's Why, a band called Why on FUBAR Radio. It's the shuffle show. We're going to be putting our iPods on shuffle. I've got mine ready to go. And another one here belongs to Mr. Jeremy Swift. How are you, Jeremy?
I'm very good, thank you, yeah.
Thank you very much for coming on.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Our iPods look almost identical.
They do. They look like, you know, separated at birth.
Yours has got a little dent in it, which means that you've lived more of a life than me, I think.
Hang on, is that...
Can you see that?
Oh, a dent. But yours has got some little scratches on the top and at the bottom.
That is true. Mine's more scratchy than yours.
Yeah.
A lot more.
Is that not in a hip-hop way?
No. I wonder why that is. Yeah. You have maybe kept more better care of yours, but that a dent means that something quite extreme happened to you.
Oh, I know what it is.
Yeah?
It's my son.
Your son?
Yeah. He kept on before, because I think I've had that one for a while. And before he got like any Nintendo 3DS sort of things when he was younger, he would play games on it and just go crazy pushing the buttons.
Right.
And I went crazy when I thought he'd bust it completely. He got very upset.
How old was he?
He was about 6 or 7 when he did that, I think.
Well, that is old enough to be told off for that. That's fair enough. good parenting straight away. How are you feeling about the? Are you hoping it's gonna? Are you confident with the?
What with the playlist?
With the songs on here, what might come up?
There's all sorts of stuff that I have that I sort of think I should have. Like, I do love a wide range of stuff, but there's a lot of stuff that I probably wouldn't listen to unless it was on shuffle.
Yeah.
And even then I'd go, oh, no, I listen to that when I'm 70.
Yes.
There's the odd thing that I've downloaded for somebody else. Like there's an Elton John song, which I hate. And I keep meaning to, grey out on my iTunes folder. So I'm slightly pessimistic, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I love music and there's lots of good stuff on there. I hope it surfaces.
Yeah. Those ones that we download for other people are always, they're very tricky.
Yeah.
And or ones that we download, what songs on iPod that we don't really want on there? And I don't even know why.
It happened.
Yeah. You sort of end up with that. Oh, yeah, that I forgot that I own that Cheryl Cole song.
Yeah.
Although, to be honest, I'm not embarrassed about that. I do like that one. But I do, it's a guilty pleasure.
Well, what I do now, what I have done for about the last 4 years, is if I hear something like Unsixed Music and I think, that's great. I think I'm going to love that. And I download it I Shazam it and download it immediately. And after about 2 weeks, I think, oh, what's that again? And I play it and I think, oh, God, that's really kind of mediocre. It's got one bit in it that I got excited about and now it's there.
And you're a Shazammer. That's very...
I am a Shazammer, yeah.
But I don't know many Shazammers. That's very good. Do you do it a lot? Have you ever done it in an unusual place? Ever heard something and immediately needed it?
Well, I have done it in supermarkets and things or whatever. That's about the most... Not in toilets or anything like that. I don't think I've ever heard, or lifts or anything.
Yeah.
But it is surprising that, like, because of the digital code... Like when I occasionally listen to a pirate station in the car or something, and I'll pull over and try and Shazam it. And of course, it's a mix, so it doesn't have the digital code, so you can't get it. And you sort of think, oh, that's great, and I'll never hear it again.
Oh, I didn't know that's how Shazam works. You can't, it's digital codes and stuff.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
So, that is a shame. So you have to actually go out and ask, or you can Google the lyrics. That's what I end up doing.
Yes, that is, yes.
When
you, yeah, you, well, I suppose it has to be that way. You couldn't, Shazam a busker, for example.
That's, you have to pay them quite a lot to Shazam them. They don't get Shazammed for less than a tenner. Right, we're going to start off with my iPod and see what's it's given me this week. Here we go. Start off with Press and Shuffle Now. Okay, this is fairly cool. Outcast with Roses. I was saying to Jeremy, I think that's the... first one my iPod's played that is actually a single that people have heard on the radio and would be familiar with, which is nice to show I'm in touch with the common man. It's got a lot of pretentious stuff. We were talking offer about buying albums just based on the cover, weren't we? While that was playing, and based on the a cover looking good and then buying it. I've got a band called Tijuana Hercules.
Oh wow!
Based on the name and because the cover was cartoon animals carrying their own heads around, and I thought that was pretty cool, so I bought it. It was really good. It might come up at some point. They play like bluesy Tom Waits stuff, and the drummer's just plays tin cans and things like that.
Oh wow!
Which I think it's always good.
I had a girlfriend about 20 years ago. She was a bit older than me, and she was from New Zealand. And I went to her flat once, and she'd unfortunately been burgled. Right. But she used to like a lot of stuff that nobody would like, and because she was from New Zealand, she liked a lot of Polynesian stuff.
Yeah.
And you could tell the burglars had pulled out some of her albums, and they had sort of semi-naked men with flowers around their necks, and the albums were called Next Stop Hawaii and things like that. And they'd obviously gone to nick some of her albums and gone, nah.
That's brilliant. That's my girlfriend at the minute is Polynesian from New Zealand. So there you go. Maybe she's got all the same albums in her collection somewhere. I can try and listen to them myself. Ideally, we're plugging your iPod in now.
Yes.
Like if this wasn't iPod Shuffle, and you were in charge of what you got to play from your iPod, what kind of stuff would you? Would you play now? What would be the first one you would open on that would be like, maybe if you got some friends around, you want to look cool and you put a song at a dinner party?
I really like at the moment, I like a lot of American and Canadian kind of electro kind of poppy bands like Purity Ring and Chairlift and White Oak.
I love hearing bands that I've never heard of before because it always sounds like the names are just the person is making them up.
I know, it's like a parody of John Peel going,
the
12 obstacles. But I would have to stick on some Roxy Music, my favourite band ever, and I'm very much of the opinion that I think Roxy's even by Roxy Music themselves, they keep playing the same sort of. There's a bunch of favourites that people like, and I think there's a whole other side to Roxy Music that is, you know, fantastic and overlooked.
Yeah. Now I have never even bothered to get into Roxy Music because they're a band that like loads of bands. There's loads of bands I haven't bothered to get into because there's so much of a back catalogue. I'm like I can't. So and I've only just started listening to Neil Young.
Right.
I'm 30 and I've only just started this because it was just too much, and then eventually I hear enough songs that I like that I start getting into it. What would be the also friends have persuaded me that I should listen to him. Anything to persuade me to listen to Roxy Music? I mean, there's loads of people that already have said to me I should do.
I think the first two albums in particular, it's very difficult because I love most of them. There's only about three Roxy Music tracks that I don't like.
Right, yeah.
But the second album, which just the other day was the album of the day on Six Music, For Your Pleasure, is really exciting. It's got great lyrics. It's fun. It's very dark. The second side is kind of reggae psychedelic song called The Bogus Man, which goes on for about 10 minutes and is just, I've never heard anything like it before or since, really.
Okay, well, in that case, I'm going to download that album tonight. I'm going to do it.
Ooh.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to get into Roxy Music because it's been too long. I've put it off for ages.
Yeah, fantastic.
So let's see if maybe Roxy will be the first track on. We don't know. Here we go. First track. From James Swift's sidebot.
Ooh, what is it? What is it?
The Specials. They're too much too young. No one's gonna look down on that.
I hope not.
You've got an absolute. That is the safest start you could hope for. I think. Bar like yeah, I want to hold your hand or something like that. That's done it. You were just starting to tell me as well about this, because you're a big Specials fan, or
I wasn't a massive Specials fan, but I did like I loved Two Tone at the time. I got the Specials first single, I think the day or two after it had been played on John Peel, and I never got to see them or Madness. And I thought they were a really powerful band, and they, loads of clubs did get closed down because of the violence, and that's what they wrote Ghost Town about, and they dealt with right wingers really. I think it may have been one of their last gigs where they had so many fascists in the audience that they all jumped off stage and ran them out of the auditorium, yeah, out through the foyer and onto the street.
Well, yeah,
that
yeah.
is. That is hard.
You don't get that much nowadays.
No, you wouldn't get James Blunt doing that.
Yeah. Someone told me about a Rage Against the Machine gig in Belfast where they got the crowd riled up and were like, you know, let's go and show the police what we think of them after the show.
Oh, my God.
But then as they came out, the police had already, like, just surrounded the... They were all there, apparently in full force. Wow. And everyone just walked out, saw the police, and decided to do nothing and just walked home.
Yeah, sorry, I just got overexcited. Sorry.
Yeah, it's like, sorry, I didn't mean... When I said, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me, I meant I will do what you tell me if there's enough of you, and I will go home. And in a nightclub once, I was in a... They were playing that Rage Against the Machine song with Fuck You, I Won't Do What You Tell Me, and we were all singing really loud, and all these middle-class white kids just singing Fuck You, I Won't Do What You Tell Me. And then... halfway through, the song stopped and all the lights came up and the bouncers were like, everyone go home now, please, end of the night.
Really?
And then we all just went home. We all just did as we were told immediately. It was just the end of the night, and instead of playing the song through, they just stopped it and it was like, that's it, got to go home. And we all just went, yeah, right.
So sorry, I've had too much fizzy pop.
Yeah, exactly. Just like, whatever, don't any trouble, and went home. But yeah, there's not many bands now who would like stick up to stuff and... do anything that you, because I mean, I guess you do the slightest thing now, and it's instantly just like you get, it's on Twitter and all kinds of social media, and it gets spanned a million different ways, and you get made to look stupid half the time.
Yeah, well, there is a very good YouTube clip actually of the Specials recently, in which Terry, I've forgotten his surname now, singer, stops the song because somebody called him a C-word,
right,
and just has a complete go at this guy in the audience and gets a massive round of applause.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And so they've still got, you know.
Yeah. We get bands like the Brian Jonestown Massacre. Have you seen the documentary called Dig? Have you seen that?
I haven't, no.
So it's the Dandy Warhols.
Oh, yeah.
And who, you know, most people are familiar with them, but they started off with Brian Jonestown Massacre in the same, like, both two bands, and one of them went big and the other one didn't. And Brian Jonestown Massacre was seen as being the geniuses and whatever,
because
they had this singer called Anton, who was a bit of a live wire or whatever. So, like, he basically, this documentary is just full of him having breakdowns on stage and kicking an audience member in the head and all
kind
of stuff. but then it becomes a thing where, like, my friend went to see Brian Jonestown Massacre, and what he wanted to see was this guy get angry and just throw the gig. So there's loads of people in the audience just trying to rile him up so that he eventually just sat on the floor refusing to play while the rest of the band had a jam. And he said it was awful. It was an awful gig. But then at the same time you go, oh, cool. I'm glad it was awful. They had the courage to be awful.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not everyone being perfect all the time.
Yeah. Oh, God. No, well, seeing... the punk gigs, the whole thing is spitting thing, which I used to hate, actually.
Yeah.
And sometimes when the light would catch it, and the bands used to hate it, and they'd often get hepatitis and things like that because they'd be singing and it'd get a little gob in their throat. And I remember seeing a gig where, I don't really remember this band called Bauhaus. They did a single called Bela Lugosi's Dead. And they were seen as very posy at the time.
Yeah.
And they were getting spat on, and not only were they getting spat on, people had brought water pistols, and the guy was the lead singer was very angry about it, and eventually just gave in and stood at the front of the stage, holding his you know, his cheekboned face to the crowd as they squirted water pistols in his face, and their cool was completely blown. You know,
it was very strange. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? You get bands who like people go actively to. It's mainly at festivals, I think. Now, if people don't like a band who are on at the festival, it doesn't cost them any extra to go and see that band because they're there anyway.
No, that's
so just go and ruin the gig.
Oh God,
just going. I mean, I've only ever
terrible if you like them, isn't it?
I mean, like them and you're trying to watch it. The only band I've seen who got that kind of thing, no one liked them, and it was Daphne and Celeste who were. They did a couple of songs. They had one hit with "Ooh Stick You," and it was like really horrible.
I remember that
bullying music. and they were meant to do Reading and Leeds, and they were on after, after A and before Blink 182 or something like that. And it was just they just got bottled and feces and urine.
Oh God! I think Reading Festival. I went there in 1978.
Yeah,
and. From the sound of mates who've got older kids than me, it still is a rite of passage.
Yeah.
Because when I went there, it was the transition between it being a kind of heavy metal festival and it was the first time punk was ever on.
Right.
Patti Smith, Jam, Ultravox, all these people were all gone. And there were huge fights. I mean, just epic fights with the air going grey with bottles being thrown.
Yes,
it was shocking. And and I remember seeing the singer of Ultravox, John Fox, as it was then, getting, you know, a party 12 can of beer thrown at his head, you know. God. I mean,
bottles,
shocking.
Bottles getting thrown at the air at festivals, it was one of the things I was most terrified of as a teenager. I hated it. So if I was, because I'd always want to go to the front, and when the bottles started flying around, I was just petrified.
Yeah,
it's so scary.
Yeah, it's awful.
Get a bottle in your head.
Yeah, I stood next to a guy who got knocked out by one of those very thick whiskey bottles.
Yeah,
and just whacked him on the head, knocked him cold.
Dear God, and you saw Patti Smith.
I did.
I'm jealous about that.
I also saw her about 10 or 12. I've seen her 3 times actually.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw her do Horses about 10 years ago on the South Bank.
All the way through?
Yeah.
This is something I've enjoyed talking to people about, actually. It's like a lot of people who've been on the show have been to see an album all the way through, and it's maybe my favourite kind of gig to go to, go and see a classic album like that just all the way through in a nice... South Bank is a good... What venue is it? The South Bank Centre?
I think it was the Royal Festival Hall.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like a good venue and a good album like that. Every single week I say that I saw Graceland all the way through, but there you go. It was the best night of my life.
Wow.
So right, let's see what the next song on mine is. Who knows? Hopefully something cool. Outcast again.
Oh, is it?
FUBAR Radio.
What an ending to a song that is. You'd love to make love to every molecule of you, and if you want to, you can spontaneously combust in unison.
That's a good idea.
That's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I think he means wants to have sex with a lady.
I think
that's,
so.
That's what he means.
Yeah.
That's the subtext. I'll read between the lines in song lyrics. Yeah. I don't know if anyone's told you that. But I'm good at the subtext.
Oh, yeah. Bit of physics thrown in there as
well. Yeah, yeah. Oh, he knows a lot about science, Andre 3000. So, yeah.
You wouldn't have a name like that without knowing something, having, you know, a kind of math background.
Yeah, yeah. You got to know. If you can count that high, then you must know so much about maths and science. It's amazing. Well done.
Head for figures. Yeah.
That's why you don't trust people like Two Unlimited and things like that. Where did you go to school? Come on, mate. Push it a bit harder.
Yeah.
5, obviously, not a very good. 5 have got back together now, the boy band, but there's only 3 of them. Did you know that?
How's that going to work out?
Still called 5 and still touring as 5, but there's 3 of them. That's the most tragic gig.
Oh, yeah. They're going to have cardboard cutouts of the other 2.
Yeah. Just to. I knew someone who, if 5 had been called 7, he would have been in the band. He got down to the last 7 of 5 and didn't make it in. But we would make fun of him quite a lot because he was the tour manager on a tour I was on. Great guy, but when you're on tour all the time, you have to make fun of someone.
Yeah.
or just all of each other. So that was our little thing. I remember going past a poster for Scream 4. was coming out, and he said, I didn't know there was a Scream 4. And I said, if there's a Scream 5, you can nearly be in it. Didn't like that.
Oh, dear.
But good fun. Good fun, you know.
Yes.
Boy bands, I'm ever a fan of boy bands?
Generally, no. But I did like... recent, it was about 3 years ago, I take that song, Feeling Happy Now. I thought that was, I didn't know it was them to begin
with.
I really liked that. And I liked a song by Blue that got into Eurovision, and I don't think they did very well. We never do very well.
Take That did have, I think that's like, that's what they kind of do now, Take That, because Gary Barlow has got quite into just seeing whatever the
zeitgeist is,
whatever everyone's doing, and then he'll do it.
Yeah,
and he did that very embarrassing Mumford and Sons style solo song where it was like, I heard it in the gym and I was like, oh, that's a new Mumford and Sons song, and then looked at the video on the thing and it's like, that's Gary Barlow just doing Mumford and Sons, doing the banjo and the foot stomping, and just going, you're just doing, and you know, everything's building and uplifting all the time. It's like like it could be in a montage where someone's running in a film to get their one true love or something. It's always that kind of thing.
Oh right, yeah. But running through cornfields and things.
Yeah, it's like building up and up and up, and everyone's feeling, but they can do anything.
Oh right, yeah.
Which is, I think that's quite a modern trick, quite a common trick now in modern day music, is that as long as it makes you feel like you're invincible, people love it.
That's very true, actually. There's a lot of psychology. I mean, all sorts of genres, I think. There is that psychology.
Yeah, because of films and adverts, especially a lot of adverts now, they started off using quite cool indie songs that actually the lyrics are often about, you know, what really matters in life, and they used it to sell whatever TV they've got going.
Yeah,
but it always makes you feel quite good. And now it's built from there, I think.
That's
more
the mainstay,
more.
Isn't it?
Yeah. But yeah, Take That. There was a song. It was one of their big ones. I took quite a few of the bit when they made their comeback. I didn't know it was Take That, and I thought,
right.
And you hear them so much on the radio, and you go, I actually like this, and then you just go, it's Take That, and go, I'm going to have to accept it. I'm an adult now.
Yeah,
I'm going to
sit down, have a good talk to myself.
I like Take That.
Yeah,
I like that Take That song.
Yeah, no, I do have quite a few guilty pleasures.
Yeah,
yeah,
but then I think that's part of being a grown-up.
Yes.
Is that you just go, I like it, and I'm not a teenager anymore, so I've accepted I'm not immortal, so I may as well download that song.
Yeah.
Because what is the point of denying myself that brilliant Take That song forever?
Yeah.
Because one day I'll be dead, so I may as well listen to it as much as I can.
Yeah. Well, when I was younger, I mean, there was a kind of Young Turk thing that if you would lose pretty much all of your friends if you confessed to liking, you know, a Deep Purple track or something, you know, that something that was just completely out of order.
Were they not called Deep Purple?
Not when I was early teens, but when punk and everything came along.
Yeah.
No, they were just complete, you know.
Yeah.
Now I listen to them, I think, there's maybe two songs that I like or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's plenty of stuff. You had to sort of tread carefully sometimes. You know, what do you think of that?
Yeah.
Terrible. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I think I just bought it.
Yeah.
Keep quiet.
I had two groups of friends that were like, you know, I hung out with some pretty just trendy kids in school, and I hung out with the alternative kids as well. And I would obviously get loads of hassle from the trendy kids because I listened to Nirvana and whatever. But then from the other kids, anything remotely poppy, that was anything that wasn't completely metal or punk, I was getting stick. I couldn't win. I could never win. It wouldn't matter. So I think I stuck quite strong. I think I had to just pick a side, and just did just alternative music all the way through secondary school until I eventually left. And then when I left, the amount of jazz and pop and stuff that I downloaded and bought because I wanted to because suddenly...
You could.
Yeah. Going, oh, tell what, I really love world music. I love the djembe. or all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I think that's why...
The Mongolian nose flute.
Yeah, oh. So,
why did I overlook that?
So much hassle in school if I was a Mongolian. And there's one kid, obviously, a Mongolian nose flute fan, got no ender stick. the djembe is one, though, that I think that's a phase... At a festival, when you make the mistake of sitting at the chai tea tent for too long, and then some white guy with dreadlocks comes along and wants to lead you in a merry old djembe jam.
Oh, it can be. I used to about 15 years ago, I used to go to a men's group for about 3 years in which you know, sit down and talk about your dark soul and stuff. and I went to a couple of big events where guys, somebody would say, yeah, everybody brought a drum, you know.
Yeah.
It was obligatory, practically. and you know, more, you would have a really good djembe if you were like a hardcore men's group sort of guy. But playing with a load of blokes, for, you know, somebody would start off and then you'd play for like 50 minutes or an hour and a half or something. It's just that, God, this is still going.
Yeah.
It's really quite exciting.
Yeah, caught in a loop, and it's like, it's hard because you've got to decide whether you're going to just do the same thing over and over, or you're going to lead. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to try and.
Yeah, I'm going to get a funk going on groove thing.
I was bad, like, so I used to play because I played the drums.
Did you?
So I'll be quite bad at, like, you know, going, like, everyone's just like, oh, God, I want to. I'll be trying to show off in the jam, which is not the point.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I'll be trying to. Oh, everyone's doing this like standard stuff. I'm going to do some triplets over the top of this and really show them what we can do with the djembe.
Yeah.
And then I'm just the kid showing off in the djembe jam, which is not
a sentence
worse.
You thought you'd say today.
No. That's who I was. That's my past. Let's do the next song from your iPod.
Yes.
Here we go. We had the specials earlier.
Right.
So what leads on from the specials? Naturally, CSS.
Oh.
CSS sucks, in case you had to be told what that's called. And it went, I tell you what happened there, also, it went straight onto the next song.
Yeah, they join up, don't
but
they?
But really well. Because obviously this is on shuffle. So, hold on a second.
Oh, is it going to play the next song? Because that.
It went straight into the next one. So I'm going to, just so we could all hear that at home, let's hear how good, because I like it when a song goes straight into another song, but you put it on shuffle and see how well it goes into the next one.
Ah.
Brian Eno. That's pretty cool. I mean, what is really good is when you get ones that one that goes straight into another one, but it goes into another song that comes straight off the back of something else.
Yeah.
So you actually end up with a new little mix, and sometimes it works really well.
It does. Yeah, it is.
And that was quite, I mean, that was, I think the, in terms of what note the Brian Eno one started on, that was all right.
Yeah. If you were a producer, you'd be very happy with that.
Yeah. Quite well. Yeah. And you were saying to me, so you a musician, you can play?
I am, yes. Well, I had a band a long time ago. I was taught violin and piano at school, and I got up to a certain level. I wasn't amazing, but I can still. I used, because when I was in my 20s, I did lots of acting jobs that were where they got cheap. You know, they would use actors who play instruments, and they got basically a cheaper rate musicians because MU rates are really kind of, you know, sort of like, you know, £100 an hour or something like that. So I did lots of parts where I would go, "Yes, my lord, he went that way," and spend the rest of the play going on my violin, you know.
Is that what happens in Jupiter Ascending? Are you are you playing a little?
I don't know. No,
playing a mandolin.
No. I do have a mandolin because the same strings as the violin. I've written a bit for. I did a mate's film, which was a sort of a docudrama about werewolves, if there's such a thing. And I did the score for that, which went on the Discovery Channel in America.
Oh, great.
And I really enjoyed doing that, and I like to do it more. But you know, it's. You know, when you've gone down one way.
Too busy acting.
Too busy acting.
I mentioned Jupiter Ascending then. That's out. When's that out?
I think it started yesterday, actually.
It started yesterday?
Yeah.
Was it fun?
It was great.
It looks like it would have been fun to film. Like, you know, I've only seen the trailers.
Yeah.
But, like, it looks like if you were making that, that would be a lot of fun. Like, you know, it's a lot of action and costumes and
I play an earthling person, so I'd look a bit, you know, cheesy, really.
Okay.
Like a cheesy Russian guy living in Chicago, but interestingly enough, it does. I mean, I think it's fantastic. I mean, already the critics are being a bit crap about it,
right?
But I think I think it's great. I think it's like one of those big, sprawling, kind of mad 70s films that people don't make anymore, you know.
Yeah. And I guess it's out at the same time as all the Oscar bait films. So, like, you know, the critics are in ultra critical mode.
Highfaluting mode.
And they're definitely going to just, like, you know, they'll be very snooty about anything that's not...
I mean, people are generally snooty about fantasy films, to be said. They're a little bit more cautious about slating off a kid's film.
Yeah.
But, sci-fi usually gets a bit of a kicking. But unfortunately, it looks like it hasn't... It might be a bit of a John Carpenter and not do very well. But okay. I think it's great. I think it's great fun. It was a bit... although it looks amazing when I occasionally walk around all the massive studios that it was all being shot in, and it was just all these amazingly shaped sets that were just green.
Right. You know? Of course.
They're all going to have stuff sort of CGI'd on top of them, I suppose.
People on wires and stuff.
Lots of wire stuff. Yeah, yeah.
And were you in scenes with Channing Tatum and
I wasn't.
Mila Kunis?
Well, I play Mila Kunis's uncle in it, so I had.
I should have known that. Just by looking at you, I should have known.
Can't see the resemblance.
Probably played Mila Kunis's uncle, I'd imagine.
Yeah, so I had a couple of scenes with her, yeah.
I've heard she's very nice, that's what I've heard.
She is, yeah, she's a good laugh.
Not that you would say otherwise if she wasn't on a radio show.
No, she was she was up for a bit of banter, yeah.
Great fun. Is it the Wachowski brothers?
Wachowski siblings now, because Larry has become Lana.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a very, because there isn't much footage of them. They were very private. And there is some footage of Larry with like a baseball cap, speaking a little bit sort of shyly. And Lana has now got sort of like Camden Town dreadlocks.
Yeah.
And... they're both absolutely charming, lovely people. I have to say. And a good laugh. You can really have a good laugh with them.
Yeah,
and really approachable for American directors. There's no.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend who her sister worked on the wardrobe for a not American director, but for Mike Lee.
Oh yeah,
and accidentally left all the wardrobe for the day that she just bought in Tesco. And obviously it instantly... She got it back, but she said that the time in between... It was her first day working, and it was her first film she'd ever worked on. And she just thought, of all the people...
Oh, God, no.
To just leave...
No.
Leave his wardrobe in her... Not Mike Lee.
No.
And, I mean, she got it back and she was okay, but, like... I don't think she'd be working now if she'd that left
happened,
that there.
Yeah,
yeah, been awful. Are you excited? I mean, actually, are you excited about BAFTAs and Oscars, or do are actors more kind of like, you know?
It depends what's in play. It's you. Awards across the board. It's like I never watch the Brits or anything like that. It's always the big sellers. It's the big movies. Or it's cynically the ones that have just come out.
Yes.
And it's very rare that I think, oh, I'm so glad that that got a nomination at least. You know, I'm really pleased that Boyhood has, because I think that's so fantastic.
And it's remarkable.
It is. It's like it's unique. It's like a social document or something, as well as being a great film.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever felt that way watching a film, because of you are watching somebody genuinely, you're watching all of them grow up and go through changes, and I love how you watch him, the main character, get worse as an actor and then better as well. Like you see him become a teenager, so be more self-conscious and not really grumpy. Be very good at acting during that, because you can tell he feels a bit stupid doing it. And then as he gets older, he gets good at it again.
So
you feel like you're on a journey with the real life person as well as the character in the film. Yeah, I thought that was really amazing.
Yeah. And of course, it's so, something like that is so well put together, so that, you know, it's not like the technology has changed, or that you know the lighting specs and all that kind of thing, and the color design all matches over a period of 12 years. Which is the sort of stuff that you don't know unless you work in film. It's just incredible for that, really.
And what's nice about that is what you're saying about, you know, you can get quite cynical with nominations. You know, that was released in April.
Yeah, it was,
and
wasn't it?
The
yeah.
first song, the whole thing opens with Yellow by Coldplay is the first song in the film, which, you know, is the kind of thing that if that came up on this show on someone's iPod, they'd be embarrassed about. You know, like you know, they're not trying to win anything with
I've
that film.
I've forgotten that, yeah.
You know, they're not trying to, at no point are they trying to win. They're just making the film they wanted to make.
Absolutely, yeah.
Which is nice, because obviously, you know, as much as I have really enjoyed Whiplash and Birdman and stuff like that, when they get released this time of year, you do go, see what you're doing. And it's crazy, isn't it? Because you go, are the people in the Academy really so, their memory is so bad?
I know.
It has to be stuff that's just been released. It's crazy.
It's a sort of political thing. It's just not right, I don't think.
No.
Just to choose something from the last. It is unusual and great that Boyhood is up there.
Yeah. Of course, you know, we say awards and nominations aren't important. Downton Abbey done pretty well, hasn't it? You know, but mind you, it'd be good without them. That's the thing to remember, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's always the thing to remember. Right, let's see what the next song is on my iPod. I think I've looked okay so far. It's been two Outkast songs. So
yeah, no, that's good. How many songs have you got on your iPod?
8,000.
Right.
So not as much as you got, a lot more than me.
Nearly 19.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see if this is another Outkast song. I'm actually hoping for it. That's Low there with Try to Sleep, a song that ends
suddenly
and before it says it's going to on the iPod.
Oh.
Is
that because it's
album.
A download?
Yeah, maybe it is. I'm not sure. It's a live version, so maybe that's why.
The producer just fell asleep.
Yeah, just didn't bother.
Oh, it's finished.
And that's from a Day Trotter session, which I would recommend to listeners of a website called Day Trotter. You just go on, and loads of bands go in and do live sessions, and you get to become a member and download loads of different versions of tracks.
Oh, marvellous. I'm going to check it out.
It's really great. It is really good. And also, there's so many bands you've never heard of before, and you could actually afford to do the thing where you just go, I like that band name, and then download it, because you've already paid for it anyway. So, so who cares?
Yeah.
But, that's Low, a band who
Are they Jehovah's Witnesses?
Are they?
I think they are, yeah. I think they're quite strange. Right. I mean, I've got one album of theirs which I really like it, but I'm quite disturbed by it because I'm not religious. But it's got a kind of darkness, a real darkness about it.
I didn't know they were Jehovah's Witnesses.
I think he had a nervous breakdown as well, the singer. But
because
I knew somebody. I met somebody at a party who was like their British tour manager about sort of 8 years ago, and.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. I've only got one album by them, and then that Day Trotter session. And the album I've got is because my friend wanted the album for his birthday.
Yeah.
And it's like, I may as well have got it from a vending machine. I ordered it, and I got two. The two of the same album. I still don't know why, but then I kept the album for myself, and it's an earlier one than that song. And they used to just be really slow. Every song would be slow, and that would kind of just be their thing. Would that be every song was like a really like excruciatingly slow song, where the notes were so far apart, to the point where like I was like, I really like it, but I never got past three songs.
Right,
you can't listen to a whole album of that. Really.
Oh, the album I've got has got some thrashy sort of stuff on
well.
There's one that called Canada, which is really anti-Canada.
Right.
It's really quite angry about, you can do it up there in Canada. But it's great, actually, I've never been to Canada, but I wish that upon them at all. I still end up singing along to it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. if you don't mind, I've just skipped the Brian Eno song because we know that it's going to come up.
Right, oh yes, it's not a surprise.
On your iPod, so I thought we'd have a bit more of a bit more of a surprise coming up next.
Right, okay.
Rather than that. But yeah, lower one band like that, and another band who, like, I will buy albums by bands because I like the idea, even if it's the result isn't as good. So like that Low album when it's all the whole thing slow.
Yeah,
I like owning that. And then there's a band called Prince Horn Dance School who I really like, but it's minimal. It's like really minimalist. It's just like drums, bass, guitar, but like it's no real chords in there. It's all just like rhythmical.
Yeah,
but very like repetitive and just minimal. And I really like them, but I could only listen to half an album at a time.
Yeah.
Even though I like all of their songs, but like I would have to just like listen to it in chunks. I probably couldn't go to a gig.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, it's just too much of the same idea.
Yeah.
Which is very brave, isn't it? Because a lot of bands try and make sort of compilation albums themselves, don't they? So they do a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try to hone things like, you know, I don't know, like Wes Anderson, like to the same thing over and over until you've got exactly what you want. Just keep on going. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I did the same film again. What's your problem?
Yeah, same colour scheme. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I did it.
Yeah, bright yellows.
And I love him, by the way. I do love him. I don't know what, but it's probably one of my favourites. But what's interesting about him as well is that a lot of people I know who like him. Everyone's got a different favourite film.
Absolutely. There's just going to ask you what your favourite was, because everybody's got a...
But also, everyone's got one they just think, that's not as good as the rest of them. Don't like that one. They messed up there. And it's always different.
Yeah.
And it's always when we say, so my favourite is actually Darjeeling Limited is my favourite one.
I really like that. I'd like to see that again, actually. I've got that, actually. But there's the first one, what's it called?
Bottle Rocket?
Oh, no, I haven't seen that. The one with the mountain, Rushmore. I really didn't like that at all. Mm. I just wanted to slap that kid a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know...
But then that's fair. You know, I know some people, Rushmore is their favourite. And I know. Then they won't hear anything else. That's their favourite one. That's
absolutely
the best one.
Yeah.
I saw Graham Linehan tweeted that he didn't like Life Aquatic.
That's my favourite.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there you go. It's this thing.
That film.
Ones that I think Life Aquatic's, brilliant. I'd probably say, I mean, Bottle Rocket, if you haven't seen that one, it almost doesn't count because it's his first film.
Right, yeah.
So
yeah.
It doesn't look like a Wes Anderson film. The sense of humour is the same.
Yes.
And I suppose, like, even the acting acting's a bit more mainstream and stuff. It's a bit more normal, but it's very funny. It's a very funny film with the Wilson brothers as the main characters.
Oh, it's the Wilson brothers in it, right? Yeah,
they're like the leads in it, and it is a very funny film. And Owen Wilson was still writing films with him at that point. It was the first one.
Oh, right.
So it was him and Owen Wilson wrote it, but it just doesn't look the same as the rest of them. But like, yeah, like, I would say, even though I like it, Moonrise Kingdom might be my least like.
Yeah.
Bottle Rocket is my least one, it doesn't count, but like, you know, Moonrise Kingdom is that one, there's something about it that I don't connect to as much.
Mm.
Whereas other people I know, they love the fact that it's mainly about how like the kids have more emotion than the adults and things like that. So, yeah. What a great guy.
Oh, he's a marvelous man.
Yeah. Right, onto your iPod. Wes Anderson would have a good iPod.
I'm sure he would. God, he would. In fact, I've got the Life Aquatic because it's got all sorts of things.
I've also got that. Have you? Mine.
Yeah.
Mine. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's got Iggy and the Stooges and Devo and all sorts of people on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe one of our iPods will throw it up at some. That's twice the chance now of it coming up. But let's see. Let's see if it is next on yours. It's not. Oh, didn't turn the mics on. Always get something wrong every week. As Queen, Son and Daughter there. That is the kind of mix. The way that went from the classical music into that was brilliant. That is the kind of thing that would make me, if that was on shuffle on my iPod, I think I would start a playlist
just
off
to
the back
do
of
that.
That.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those two songs go in well together. I'm going to do that and make it look like I came up with that idea. Brilliant. Lovely. Lovely stuff.
Marvellous randomness.
Yeah, we're going to try and let songs flow into each other more. Now, we're now going to go to a listener's iPod now. Hey, Amanda. What? Jack, yeah. Hello, Jack, you all right?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good, mate. I didn't forget your name. Just so you know.
That's good going.
Just so you know. Didn't forget your name. How's it going? What are you up to?
Well, I'm just sitting having coffee, actually. I got out of bed about half an hour ago.
Yeah.
It's a Saturday. And that's what Saturdays
are for. Yep, it is a Saturday. We pre-recorded this, everyone, just so you know. don't worry, Jack. I don't think anyone's going to be at home going, well, that's it, I'm not listening to this now.
Turn it off now.
If they did this yesterday, forget it. What kind of coffee you got, mate?
Well, it's Kenko Americano, because unfortunately I'm not wealthy enough to afford a fancy coffee machine.
Well, that sounded pretty... I mean, whatever you said sounded fancy for a second. That's how...
A Kenko what-he-what was.
Kenko Americano?
Americano.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, it's really tasty.
You just did a film with Kenko Americano. Mila Kunis.
That would be her name when you're drunk, I think.
Yeah. Where's Kenko Americano gone? hey, good acting today.
Kenko.
Yeah, good one, Kenko. What you got, milk and sugar?
Yeah, just milk.
Just
I
milk.
I don't take sugar.
No, neither do I, mate.
I'm sweet enough.
Are you the kind of person who says I'm sweet enough, or do you...
Yeah, I'm actually sweet enough, so it's funny.
You are sweet enough, so it's fine. It's hard to resist it, I think. When people say, do you want sugar, and you say no, it's very hard, I find, to not say.
I find that, you know, if someone says no to sugar, you think, oh, yeah, respect to them.
Yeah, but then you instantly lose respect when we say sweet enough. That's the problem. Like, I do it all the time. I go sweet enough, and they go, no one thinks I'm cool anymore. I was the mysterious guy who didn't have sugar a minute ago, and now I'm saying sweet enough.
I remember a phase when people used, if you didn't take sugar, you were arty. You'd say, no, I'm not arty, which would mean you'd have sugar.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, let's bring that back. How about that, Jack? You're going to start bringing that back? Only you'd have to say that you are arty, though. Are you an arty guy?
Not particularly. I'm pretty rubbish when it comes to drawing and painting.
But I do
know how to put wallpaper up, so you could say I'm arty to an extent.
Hey, art is whatever you choose to call it, isn't it? I mean, you know.
Yeah, the art of wallpapering.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what is your job, Jack?
I am a secretary at a media company, which is rather fun.
What a lot of fun. What's the media company?
It's digital marketing and digital print. So
great.
It's in London, but I'm actually back with my parents in Stratford upon Avon for the weekend.
Oh, lovely!
Ooh.
Always nice.
Home of the Bard.
Yeah, the Bard, and brilliant cheap coffee. That's what Stratford upon Avon's famous for.
Yeah,
that's fair. As a secretary, do you have to make the teas and coffees for people sometimes?
I do, yeah, I do. It's kind of I'm kind of like the office bitch, really. People say, go and make tea, go and make coffee, can you go and find so-and-so, can you go and get me this, and blah, blah. It's kind of what I do, but hopefully I won't be a secretary for long.
People request Kenko Milikanos?
Yeah, this must be a busman's holiday for you. The minute drinking this cup of coffee, must you say, oh, God, I've got to make it.
At work.
Yeah. Jack, we've got your iTunes here. We're going to put it on shuffle in a minute. Do you like a lot of different types of music? Are you a big fan of music, or have it on the background?
I've got a pretty eclectic music taste. It's very difficult for me to actually say, you know, I really like this genre. I like quite a lot of stuff. You know, you can go from listening to, like, Britney Spears to Marilyn Manson if you've got my iPod on.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I am quite a big fan of house music at the same time, which I know isn't to everyone's taste, but I quite just like, you know, chill out in the background and just get on with it.
Mm. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if someone said to me that Britney Spears and Marilyn Manson were friends. It wouldn't be that weird, would it?
Oh, no, it wouldn't. After the hair shaving off incident and all that kind of thing, there's some shared darkness there, probably.
Yeah, you go, that sounds about right. But a favourite Britney song? There's only one correct answer to this. There's very few bands and artists where there's one correct answer, but Britney Spears has one song that is so much better than everything else.
Well, it's difficult. I would say Toxic.
Yeah, he's done it. He's nailed it. You don't have to keep talking, Jack. You just nailed it in one. You absolutely got it. Well done, mate.
I love that.
What a song.
Yeah.
A brilliant song. Right, Jack, we're going to put your iTunes on shuffle now and see what the first song is it throws up, and then we'll have a little chat to you about it afterwards. You ready?
Yeah, ready.
Coffee at the lips. Here we go.
I'm going to go and make another one, actually.
Oh, you can't get enough, this guy. Here we go. Holding On by Flume from Jack's iPod. Jack, I don't know who they are, mate.
That's a great band name, great song, isn't it?
Flume is a great band name, really good band name. And I did like that song. I liked it. What have they been around for long? They got many albums out?
Well, truth be told, I only discovered them last week, really, because I heard that song played by Hugh Joseph on his show with you. And I thought, actually, that's an absolute tune. So I went away and looked at the band, and they're actually, they're pretty good. They're I think they work quite closely with Disclosure as well.
Disclosure? Who are they a similar type of band?
Yeah. Disclosure. They had a massively number one selling album.
Right.
You will recognise them either.
Okay.
Loads of stuff. White Noise.
Right, okay. So that song just then is the kind of song, I imagine, if you, that came on when you were walking off the tube, you'd feel like, you know, you're walking in slow motion, you're in a film, and you look pretty cool, you know?
Yeah, something like that. You know, I did listen to that on the tube a few days ago. In fact, probably yesterday when I was on my way to the station.
I felt more
did
powerful.
Everything slow down?
Yeah.
No, everything slowed down to the extent that I got myself trapped in the doors of the tube.
I tell you what, mate, if you're on the Hammersmith and City Line, everything would slow down. It's appalling at the minute. Absolutely appalling.
I've never been on the Hammersmith and City
Line. Oh, it's awful, isn't it?
I live on it, mate.
Oh, dear.
I live on it.
Dear, okay.
I've recently moved, and I used to live on the Victoria Line.
Oh.
Dream of dreams. Loved it.
I find the Victoria Line quite scary, though.
Well, because it's so fast.
Yeah, it comes when you're standing there. Say, like, because I get on at Vauxhall most mornings, and you're standing on the platform, and the train comes in so fast that you just think, if I put a foot wrong there, right, it would be over. It would be over before you know it.
How has that happened? Are they all sort of ex Lamborghini drivers or something who drive on, you know, to do...
Yeah, all the speed freaks.
I did hear that actually that was the case.
So only Lamborghini drivers are allowed to drive on the Victoria Line. You're a Vauxhall. I've just moved from Stockwell, mate. So
I live out in Twickenham.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, you have to do that change. I am familiar with that journey. I did it for a year. I was on tour with someone who lived in Richmond. So I had to get that same journey from... I lived in Brixton at the time.
Mm.
Changing at Vauxhall, doing all the... Well, he lived in St Margaret's. You familiar with St Margaret's?
St Margaret's, great. It's a really great pub there, actually. Richmond and St Margaret's is just such a lovely area. It's just such a nice part of the world.
It is really nice. Well, you want to plug the pub in St Margaret's?
St Margaret's Tavern, if you're listening.
Big up.
Really enjoy the pub quiz on Sunday. I'll see you there tomorrow at 7:30.
Oh, yeah, pub quiz. Brilliant.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You're good at pub quiz? You got a team?
There's a kind of a set few of us who go most weeks, but we've never won. Like, usually we come last, but we have won the prize for the best team name once before.
What was it? Come on, don't...
Dirty Richard and the Bum Cheeks or something like that.
Of course you won. What did you win for Dirty Richard and the Bum Cheeks? What,
a really shit bottle of rosé.
And how does, because I haven't done one of those for, well, since, you know, time immemorial, and how do you stop people cheating and googling under a table on their phone?
I don't know, because he walks around, like, it's quite a small area where they do the pub quiz, and he's constantly walking around, and they're all on, like, low tables. So to be fair, I think he'd probably know. But also, it's not really in the fun of it. You don't really go there to win. Well, we don't. You know, we go there because, you know, have a few beers, you know, and it's just a fun thing to do. So cheating isn't really on the cards for us.
I went to one recently, and it was, the amount of trust in the room and the amount that you know it's not going to be fun if you cheat. So you just...
Well, that's not a part of it. You know, the questions are... It's generally fun. Actually, it's also quite hard and challenging. So, you know, part of the fun is in hoping you're going to win and then not and getting pissed anyway.
Hoping the right questions come up. What is the best type of coffee to enjoy on a Saturday morning?
Kenko Milikano, of course.
There you go. 10 points to Dirty Richard in the Bum Cheeks. Right, let's do another song from your iTunes, Jack. I think it's about time. But looking pretty cool so far with something I've never heard of, so let's see if you can keep that up. Here we go. That was I Awake by Sarah Blasco. I was meant to play a song there from Jack, our phone caller's iTunes, and I've got a caller later on in the show, and I played something from their iTunes instead. So, Jack, what did you think about that song, mate?
I thought it was very nice. Definitely wasn't one of mine. I've never heard it before, but actually, you know, it wasn't that bad.
Mate, I'll tell you what I'm going to do later on. When I've got the next caller, I'm just going to play a song from random from your iTunes and see what they think of that, okay. If that's all right. So, I mean, we can see. If so, what would you give that out of 10, that song you just heard?
Maybe a six.
A six.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like my sort of thing. I'm not really into kind of music like that. But,
I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll play
one. Exactly difficult to listen to, so. It's got a six.
6 out of 10. And later on, I'll play one of yours to her or him. I don't even know who the caller is, mate. And we'll see what marks they give that out of 10. And we'll see who comes out on top.
Sounds good.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for talking to us, Jack. And have a brilliant 20 more cups of coffee or whatever it's going to do today. And
yeah, thanks for having me, guys. It's been fun.
Nah, jeez. Tremendous. Cheers, mate. See you later.
Bye.
What a nice guy.
Very nice.
Nice guy. Fan of him.
Good music.
Yeah.
Well, certainly that first
one. Oh, actually, yeah. I actually like the second one as well.
I
think six was a bit harsh.
It sounded like a cautious six, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe he felt that he would have to listen to it to get it. Yeah. I don't know.
All critics have different. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
One person's six, not another person's six.
That's true.
So, you know, yeah. I mean, speaking of critics, you're in a play. straight into that.
Yeah, well.
Straight to that. But yeah, you're a very exciting play. It's a story I'm a big fan of. My family.
Hey.
The Railway Children is something we. My parents took us to see as kids, and we watched the film and read the book.
What, you saw the film at the cinema when you were a kid?
No. We watched a play of it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yes. There have been other versions of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Without a train.
Yes. Without a train. But we saw a play, I think, at the Wellingborough Castle, or I could be wrong, but something like that. And then we saw the film and read the book as well.
Yeah.
And brilliant. But who do you play in it?
I play Mr. Perks that Bernard Cribbins played in the original the film. Yes, yeah. And he is he's the porter and the sort of, well, in this version, there's nobody else. He talks about other people who work at the station, but you don't see anybody else.
Yeah.
It might be a figment of his imagination, but I basically run the whole station, it seems.
Yes.
I don't think it's a giveaway to say that there is a real train in it as well.
That's very exciting. When did that come into? Can you remember the first day of rehearsals where the train was there?
It turned up. Nobody spoke to it. incredible ego. The train came down on a surrounded by a police escort from the north, because it couldn't actually go on a track. The railway tracks, because it would cost like £1 million every 50 miles or something.
Okay.
I think because of insurance. I had something to do with the speed it could go, you know, so it would actually stop at any GNER trains, you know.
Okay.
And then it took 2 days to cross like the M25 and the North Circular, because it could only go at certain times of the day. And then where the theatre is, it wasn't a bit of siding at King's Cross. It's just it's all purpose built.
Right. Okay.
So they had to put something like 500,000 tons of rubble down first to accommodate the track.
Yeah.
And then they put the train in, and then build the theatre around it.
Wow.
Yeah, which took only amazingly about 7 weeks.
Add any extra pressure, or did you just think, I don't care if they're building a theatre especially for this?
Well, we were heads down in rehearsals, but they would say things like, train's a bit late coming in, or what, and you sort of think, is this actually going to open on time? But you know, it did, and you know,
trains are always late,
they're always late,
delayed, so you must have, oh no,
but. Yeah, I mean, it's an exciting thing
to be a part of.
It's extraordinary. In the technical rehearsal, when we came to come into the theatre, you know, like there were no seats to begin with, and the next day there were 1,000 seats in, there's another huge bit, something huge had been developed, and there were just guys working pretty much 24 hours, 24/7 to get it together.
Amazing. I assume you've all walked through the train, had a good look around. It must be an old train as well.
It is. It's from 1886.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not actually.
Is this pre-buffet carriage?
I think, yeah, we don't have a buffet carriage, unfortunately. Yeah, there's one coach.
Right.
Yeah.
One coach. Yeah.
In fact, you know, the actual train. You can't call it a train unless you've got a coach with it. It's an engine.
Oh, really?
On its own, and you can't, it's not a train until you've got a coach beyond it.
Ah, no. You learn something new every day. It's not a train is not a train without a coach.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you want to go and see the Railway Children, it's at the King's Cross Theatre. Highly recommend it. Sounds fantastic.
Oh, it's great. Yeah.
Would you consider doing like a run of this kind of thing? So like maybe you could do the Titanic on the, like a live version of Titanic with a full ship.
The director wants to do a kind of Biggles thing, you know. He wants to do a kind of controlled World War II kind of thing in something like the O2 or something. He was sort of slightly joshing about that, but I thought, in the right space, you could do something like that.
I mean, people would, if there was something in the O2 that had a plane flying around, you'd go.
Oh, you'd definitely go.
So, it's not like that's a stupid idea.
Yeah, it's not like it's going to be far away either. Yeah. It's like, I can't see anything.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Yeah, the O2, really, you want them to start doing stuff where if you're sitting at the back, something comes to you.
Absolutely,
and you get something like that, definitely.
Yeah.
Not everyone's Peter Gabriel walking on the ceiling and stuff like that.
They could have a show with people just throwing boomerangs around.
Yeah, just the boomerang show. like a stomp or something like that, but with boomerangs.
Rang.
Just call it Rang.
Yeah.
And put it on. That sounds good. There you go. Me and you have got our careers sorted.
Yeah, let's get in touch with some producers and sort that out.
Good idea for something called Rang, the O2.
Rang and Rang.
Yeah, yeah. Really intricately drawn patterns on the boomerangs you can only appreciate from up close. Right, let's move on to another song. It's Back to My iPod. Which has been fine so far. It's a two Outcast songs and a Low song, so let's see what it does now. Eels.
Oh, I like Eels.
It's Eels on FUBAR with Friendly Ghost from the Souljacker album, which I can't remember now, but may have been the album where he went to a spiritual retreat and wrote it there, but I'm not sure. I read his memoirs, which are brilliant, by the way.
Are they?
Yeah, really good. It's called Things the Grandchildren Should Know. And, he's... Obviously, everyone has died in his life.
Oh, yeah. It's very I really liked, ages ago in the 90s, when I was going over to Susan's house,
yes.
I think I bought that album, and they're kind of like, oh, I really should check them out more.
Yeah.
And I haven't ever bought another album.
I basically had that when I kind of like... I had like some of their songs and then kind of went, I really like Eels, why have I not got more? So I just had one album, and I went on and bought basically the three albums he talks about the most in the book. So I got Souljacker, Daisies of the Galaxy, and one more. I can't remember what it's called now. But
didn't
great.
He fall out with the band a bit? Has there been some ructions?
Not so much. I think he still gets on with, but like, it's just more of a, the whole thing is his thing, isn't it?
So I think
they can maybe feel a little bit. Sometimes they come and go, the other musicians.
Right.
They're not on all the same. On the Blinking Lights, this is a double album, they're not really on all the songs. They they pop up every now and again, but it's mainly just him.
Almost like session musicians.
Yeah. But thank you so much for coming in today, Jeremy. It's been great.
Pleasure.
I've very much enjoyed the songs your iPod's thrown up.
Thank you. Well, I hope it continues onto this next one.
Yeah, I'm going to play one more song now. Jupiter Ascending is out.
It is.
Tomorrow?
I think it came out last night, actually.
Came out last night, so that's very exciting.
This is its opening weekend, yeah.
So everyone should go and see that.
Yeah.
And also go and see the Railway Children at the King's Cross Theatre.
Yes, indeed.
So thank you so much, Jeremy. And we're going to end now with one more song from your iPod. Here we go. I say end. Jeremy's going, and then I'm carrying on. Jeremy's got to shoot off.
I've got two shows.
He's got two shows, he's a busy guy. Here we go. Jeremy's iPod, The Final Time. Can with One More Night on Fubar Radio there from Jeremy Swift's iPod, the final song from his iPod today. And Jeremy says one of his favourites, one of his favourite bands.
Absolutely, yeah. I adore Can, and I was saying, it's one of my regrets that I never got to see them. And I don't think they're ever likely to reform, because, the wonderful guitarist Michael Caroli has died quite a while ago. And they had such great ideas, and he used to say things like, in a guitar solo, I want to make the sound of a cow going up a hill backwards, which is just my type of guitarist, really.
Yeah, yeah. Lovely. 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 That's fantastic. Just before you go, do you want to share the story about the cramps? Because I like this. I just like this fact. Other people would like to know what happened when you saw the cramps.
You were saying how much you love the Police, and yeah. I saw them once in 1979, and they were supported, bizarrely, by the Cramps, who I don't think anybody really knew. And they were amazing. And the drummer stood up between every number and combed his hair. And took his time about it to annoy the audience.
Every time.
Between every single song.
I really, really love the fact he did that. That's really funny. I might start doing that with stand-up between every joke. Although I think maybe that's already been done by... What's his name? The guy who used to do Madison Square Garden. He did the Little Miss Muffet nursery rhymes and stuff like that. I'll remember one day. Anyway, I think he combed his hair on stage. So thank you very much, Jeremy. Thank you very much for coming. Brilliant stuff.
All right, great show. Thanks,
man. Okay. We're going to go to a caller now, our second caller of the day. This is Beth. Beth, are you there?
Yeah, hiya.
Oh, hello. How are you? You all right?
Yeah, I'm okay. How are you?
Pretty good. You sound pretty subdued. Are you relaxing?
Yeah, I'm kind of sleepy. I'm not subdued. I'm fine.
Okay, well, defensive. You're defensive. Let's say that. Let's say you're defensive, Beth. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Just at home?
Yeah.
What? Up to anything? Done anything so far today?
I've done very little today. I cleaned a bit, which was exciting.
That's good. What did you clean?
The house.
Right. Beth, you got an attitude, mate. The house, as if I'm an idiot. There are different things in the house that you may clean.
Yeah, but as a whole, in its entirety, I cleaned the house.
Okay, mate. Okay. Just reel it in. We play
one
of your...
You're taking me the wrong way. I'm not intending to be this aggressive.
Well, you might want to listen back to it, mate, because we had a young man on earlier, and you are following a very tough act, because he was absolutely brilliant. We played one of your tracks earlier, Sarah Blasco, by mistake. That was me.
Ah,
my okay. mistake. I was meant to play one of his songs, and I played your iTunes, and it threw up Sarah Blasco. So I've already played one. So we've actually only got one of your songs to play. I've never heard of Sarah Blasco before.
She's an Australian act. She's really big in Australia. She played the Royal Opera House and things.
Wow.
I think she's actually just about to go on tour with Sting as well.
Oh, okay.
But she's really, really huge over there. But I work in music, so I worked her album a few years ago, and I love her. She's amazing.
You worked on her album, did you say?
Yeah, I am. I promoted her album.
Oh, wow. So you PR?
Yeah.
Very nice. Me and Jeremy were just talking about me getting obsessed with the Police when I was 17, and I got obsessed with two things. It was the Police and eating peanut butter and bacon sandwiches. I used to eat them all the time. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I can see that working.
Well, it works for
I
a bit.
I like peanut butter and cheese, so
yeah.
I've been told that doesn't work either.
So. No, well, I can't imagine it working, but then if you're eating it, then I'm not going to say... Actually, you know what? I can imagine it working because I've had it in a burger. So
there you go, then.
I've had peanut butter in a burger with pineapple and cheese and banana in one burger.
That does not sound like a burger. Where was the room for the burger?
There's a burger in there as well. Oh, there wasn't much. It's one of those burgers you've got to eat with a knife and fork, and I would say that I don't think that's acceptable.
No, I agree.
I think you've got to be able to pick it up and bite it proper. It shouldn't be a knife and fork job.
No, I think you're going into some sort of Michelin territory there, which is not a place that I care to be in my food.
Fair enough. I mean, fair enough. You promote bands and music, so your iTunes should be the best of any we've heard, surely.
Well, I mean, yeah, it will be.
Good, good. That's good. I'd like to hear some confidence. And we've already had Ms. Blasco earlier on, so we've got time for one more. Feeling pretty good about it? Feeling pretty good?
Well, I don't know which one it's going to be, so no. I'm a bit nervous now.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I have to do this every week, and I never don't get nervous. It's my iPod has the ability to humiliate me beyond belief. So here we go. Let's see what yours is, Beth. Here we go. Fingers crossed. Beth's iPod. Go. I Miss You by Blink-182 on FUBAR. Beth?
Yeah.
Excellent song.
Thank you.
In my opinion, love Blink-182. A band that a lot of people probably don't think are cool. Would you agree there?
Not anyone that I care to speak with.
Oh, they are.
Everyone that I know would say that they're cool.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people. Yeah. See, I know a lot of people who give me stick for listening to Blink-182. I've got that album and the two albums before it. Also, actually, hold on a second. Yep, I've got all their albums. I just realised I've got all of them. No, I haven't got the first one. I haven't got Cheshire Cat. I've got like one song from it. But I've got, yeah, Dude Who Aren't True to that one. And some of my friends, very happy that I've got them. And other ones can't believe that I listen to Blink-182. They can't believe it. Especially that album. That album, even the people who liked them got a bit angry there. Do you not remember that?
I think that was a good album. Yeah, but I think that was a good album.
I think it's a very good album. And I think that they were backed into a corner on that one anyway, because people, they couldn't win. Catch 22. Because people were saying, you're just doing the same stuff all the time. So then they tried to do something different. And people went, you're trying to be clever now. You're not those people. You're just a bunch of dumb people who sing about your dicks.
Is that the one that had the letters? They made a song out of the letters from their grandma.
Yes, it was the letters. It was during the war, wasn't it? It was Travis, the drummer's grandmother, had sent letters to his granddad during the war about how much she missed him. And there's a bit where they get a woman to read it, and they're playing music over the top of that and things like that. Which, you know, actually, as I say that, does sound pretty wanky, but. But yeah, there was that song on there. And I think there's a lot of... The only stuff I don't like on there is actually... They've got some interludes with, like... They've got an interlude with some rappers on there, which is a bit out of place. Doesn't really make sense. And an interlude with... I think the guy from The Cure. I think... Yeah.
That's what Skip is for.
Sorry? Skip.
That's what Skip is for.
Skip those ones. Skip through. Yeah, I mean, really... Do you skip or do you completely delete from your iTunes? Because sometimes I think, I've got to accept it, I'm never going to listen to this again.
I have done that eventually, but it takes me a very long time to do.
With a heavy heart, I'd imagine, with a very heavy heart. So, Sarah Blasco and Blink-182. Because of timings now, so I was going to play one of Jack's songs from earlier on so that he gets two songs. But looking at the clock, we haven't really got enough time. I was... you know, well, we have got enough time, but I'd have to not play a song from my iPod. And guess what? I definitely don't want to do that. I love playing my iPod on this show. So there's your two songs there. You got anything nice planned for the evening?
I'm going to a comedy show.
What comedy show are you going to go and see?
I'm going to the Comedy Store.
The Comedy Store. Who's on?
Yeah. I can't remember.
Oh dear, you are rolling the dice. Rolling the dice on an evening's entertainment. Could be anyone. Could be three comics you don't even like.
It could be.
Have you heard of any of them? You haven't? Not going to see anyone in particular? Is it like a group outing?
I am
outing?
Going to see someone particularly, but I've forgotten who they are. So if we could just brush over that in case anyone listens to this.
Is it for work? Is this for work? Is this professionally?
Yes, it is.
Going to see someone who you might do PR for, but you can't remember their name. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening.
Excellent, excellent work. I might even Google Comedy Store and try and figure out who it is who might be going. Is it PR for Edinburgh?
I don't know. I haven't been given much detail. Just for the Comedy Store.
Well, you better hope they don't have many other options. Otherwise, they may go with whoever can remember their name. Well, good luck with that, Beth. Enjoy your time at the Comedy Store. I hope you laugh a lot, and I hope it's at the right person. Make sure you go up to the right person. Don't go up to someone afterwards and go, "Yep, we definitely want to represent you." And then it turns out that actually, it was someone else. So yeah, good luck with it, have fun, and thank you very much for sharing your music with us today. I enjoyed both tracks very much.
Good, thank you for having me.
No problem, see you later.
Bye.
Beth there, unprofessional. So let's. We're coming to the end of the show now. What a lovely show. Jeremy Swift was a charming guest with a wonderful iPod and two fantastic callers. One was a bit more surly than the other, but you know what? I liked it. I liked it very much. No favourites here. right. We're going to move on now, and we're going to play one last song, and then we'll be back next week with a brand new guest. Do we know who our guest is next week, Amanda? No, not yet. So who knows? Also, remember, if you do want to share your iTunes with us and you want to be a caller, do let us know. Tweet at Foobar Radio, and we will see about getting you on also. Here we go. Last track. Let's see what it is. It's my iPod on shuffle.